It's the lectionary text for April 15th, 2018. Today we're going to look at Luke 24, the end of the chapter, and the story of the two disciples coming back from Emmaus, their encounter with Jesus, and then them coming back to tell the disciples. So that's what's up on this episode of The Word and the Story. So the word in the story, it's a beautiful story. After the two people met Jesus, post-resurrection, on the road to Damascus. So they met him in Luke 24. He appeared to them. He opened their minds, and they had to go back. And that's what they did. In Luke 24:35 through 49, pretty much the end of the chapter, it's the story of Jesus appearing to the disciples. After that appearance to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and so this is Luke's version of that post-resurrection encounter, and so those two disciples had the encounter with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and they ran back to tell the other disciples of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly stood among them, and he introduced himself like he has in last week's passage from John, with the call to peace. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. And that's an interesting term, and this is from the New Living, but it's an interesting term that they use there. They were really wondering if this is real. Is this just a ghost, or did Jesus actually rise from the grave? And so this passage pushes the reality of a bodily resurrection. This is not a spirit. This is not a ghost. This is not some manifestation. This is the real thing. And it scared them. And the text said they were frightened. They were filled with doubt. And he says, "Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. And they stood there, disbelief. And at the same time, they were filled with joy and wonder. How can this be? It had to be running through their heads. And then he asked them a very wonderful question. You got anything to eat? So they gave him a piece of fish, and he ate it as they watched. And so so this passage, again, it really pushes the bodily resurrection of Jesus, and it really lets us see the reality of that. He stood in their midst. He spoke to them. He exposed his wounds to them, and then he physically ate. Now, this is not a manifestation like if you've seen the end of Star Wars: The Last Jedi, where Luke force projects himself into a battle with Kylo Ren and hands Princess Leia the gold dice that was in the Millennium Falcon. This is not a force projection. This is real. And the bodily resurrection, and this is important because the bodily resurrection is the object of our faith. It's the centerpiece of the proclamation of the good news. and of a new life in Christ. It's the evidence that Jesus was who he said he was, because he did what he said he would do. And now John last week and Luke this week present an embodied, walking, physical, eating, alive Jesus, just as we are. And Jesus has come in the flesh, and he appeared after his death in the flesh. 1 John, I love the opening of 1 John where he says, we have seen him with his eyes, we've touched him with our hands. There was a very real embodiment theology. The reality of a physical Jesus, a resurrected Jesus, not a ghost. So Jesus has come in the flesh and appeared after his death in the flesh. Now this in the flesh, this physical embodiment, it validates the is good of flesh that we find in Genesis 2:7. God created man and woman, and it was good. This is what God intended. This is the human that I think God intended for us to be. Jesus was the human that God intended us to be. And so something new has occurred because of the resurrection of Jesus. And this cannot be contained in the normal thinking about natural law. It's just not normal. It's not what we can see. It's not what we can hypothesize that would happen based on what we know about law and life and death. And this gives the disciples hope. Jesus, starting in verse 44, he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets must be fulfilled." And then the text says he opened their minds so that they could understand Scripture. It's a similar phrase to what the those on the Emmaus Road experienced, that they opened, Jesus opened their mind. It's a passive verb, and it indicates that Jesus was the one, God was the one who opened their minds. And he helped them to understand everything that he had been talking about since his arrival. And he said, yes, it was written long ago about the Messiah, that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. And now I send you the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And so Jesus came back, he's resurrected, he comes back in bodily form, he demonstrates that bodily resurrection to his disciples. And in this meeting, in this encounter, they move from fear to joy and wonder to understanding what all of this meant. And then Jesus does something that he does at the end of every gospel. And that is he sends them out. The last message of Jesus in each of the gospels, particularly if you look at, if you kind of take away what most think is not really part of Matthew 16. At the end of every gospel, he sends them out. He lets them loose. And it's basically, go and make disciples, and I will be with you. And so when Jesus came in this bodily resurrection, came to meet them and encounter them in this room, having a bodily resurrection, what it demonstrates to us is the possibility that there is a possibility beyond the probable, and that's our hope. And today that symbolizes as the kingdom of God, which we are called to pray for. And that hope helps us to put aside our fears. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope that helps us put aside our fears. After Jesus showed up in a very real form, he attacked their fears. Why are you scared? Why are you in doubt? We all need freedom from that. We all need freedom from those fears that keep us from accomplishing the purpose that God has in our lives. I read a quote this week from Rory Vaden. He's a sales consultant, lives in Nashville, written a couple of books, and he said, "Fear is creativity taken in the opposite direction." Instead of breaking through and building and thinking about all the things that could happen positively, fear is that creativity taken in the opposite direction, where we worry and about everything that could happen in a negative way. And I think he's right. Fear will always be there. The task for us is putting that aside. And when there is confidence, and there is a confidence of security that is found in the one who created everything, we can push through the fear to achieve the purposes of God. And that's key. When there is confidence in the reality of a physical bodily resurrection, that Jesus did what he said he was going to do, he overcame death. Death no longer has an impact on us. Death no longer holds us back. When there is confidence in the one who created it all, and that's our problem, I think, for the most part, is we put our confidence in ourselves or in others. And so our confidence, we know we're going to fail. We know other people are going to fail us. And so that confidence that we try to put in others, like we try to put in ourselves, to achieve and to excel, gets thrown out of whack sometimes because we're afraid. Is this the time I'm going to mess up? Is this the time I am going to lose it? Is this the time I'm going to break down? But when we put our confidence in the one who created all, we can push through that fear. Fear is always going to be there. We have to push through it. Peace arises from that confidence. Knowing that whatever happens, God has us. Whatever happens, God has us. And our fears get framed as caution, but do not keep us from moving forward. Now, the resurrection brings transformation. That reality of that resurrection, that bodily resurrection, brings transformation. And Jesus invited his disciples to move beyond where they were, to move beyond their fear and their doubt and their worry. And when they did that, they could truly understand him, his purpose, and their calling. That's why Jesus calls them out. You would be my witnesses. That the message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations. They had to get over their fear because Jesus' name and Jesus' story and Jesus' word, Jesus' life needed to be proclaimed to all the nations. the forgiveness that is available through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus needs to go out. And Jesus says in verse 48, you are witnesses of all these things. You've experienced it all. Now you need to go tell this same story. And if their fears weren't pushed aside, that message may have never gone out. And so the resurrection reality in us plants the seeds of transformation. Change happens at the level of action that contains risk. Let me share that with you again. Change happens at the level of action that contains risk. Change happens when we start acting in a way that risk is involved. That's when change happens. And when we're transformed, we move beyond our fears. Those fears still exist. We move beyond those fears into the walking in the footprints of Jesus. And so the resurrection, this resurrection story, reminds us that fears can be put aside. We can have confidence in the resurrection of Jesus, in his overcoming of death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, we can move forward, sharing his story and his message to a world that needs it. And I hope you get a chance to do that. Whether you're a pastor or not, whether you are a Bible teacher or not, whether you're just someone who wants to hear the story and share the story, I hope you can move past the fears that so easily entangle us and move forward. Confident in the work of Christ, his resurrection, and your eternity that awaits you. Hope you have a blessed week and that the story of Christ can transform you. Amen.